Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Hi, welcome to Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman.
And I'm Allie Nimmons.
Our guest today is Lisa Gesoff. Lisa is Gizmo Creative Factory with 20 plus years in design and development and 18 years in business. Welcome, Lisa.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We like to start off each episode asking our guests how they got into WordPress. How did you get started?
It is a long and winding road. I like to say I drank the Kool-Aid long ago, back in 2008. I've actually been doing development and design much longer than that. I learned back when it was just HTML, there wasn't even CSS, but back in like 96. But I was actually doing a pro bono project, and the developer on the project said, let's use WordPress, which I had never actually even really heard about. And, you know, I had heard about CMSs before, but they were always kind of these, especially open source things that you never really were terribly sure about. But he built the site out in WordPress, and it just, it was one of those things that just made the site actually editable by the client, which was huge at the time. it kind of changed my business and, you know, everything forever. And, you know, 2008, WordPress was a completely different animal, not anywhere near what it is now. But it was great. It was a game changer, definitely, for me. So it was exciting.
I think we have a very similar timeline, because I was doing HTML in the 90s.
It was very different times.
Yes. And then discovered WordPress in 2007. And it was a game changer from the static websites, for sure. It was like, oh, you mean when a client wants to change a comma, they don't have to contact me?
Exactly. Oh, yes. And they still contact us even now today to do that stuff. But, you know, it's completely different world. You know, it's kind of putting it back in their hands, which is wonderful. So, yeah. And the ability to do dynamic sites, you know, that's another thing that, you know, wasn't such a big deal, you know, it wasn't so easily accessible, especially to us. So, you know, to me, it was a huge deal. It was a huge deal to be able to do that. And I had started creating little nothing templates that were, you know, they had a homepage, they had a subpage, and I was selling little $500 templates to people. It was nothing on the scale of selling a true template by any means. And certainly, you know, mobile was not a thing at that point. So I didn't even have to worry about that. but yeah, it completely changed how I did business. And I really loved, number one, the community, just knowing that there was a community out there that could actually support you, rather than just kind of, you know, getting by your wits. And that I could Google something and it actually had a answer out there rather than just, you know, hoping and praying that there was something, that's, you know, knowing that there was something out there for me, that would be a wonderful thing in any case. So, I actually started looking around too at other CMSs, and not to throw any shade to any other CMSs, but I looked at Joomla and I looked at Drupal, and I just didn't see, number one, the community, but also, I didn't see the stability and the also just the extendability that I wanted to see, to think the things that I wanted to do with it there, until, you know, I mean, maybe those things are there now. You know, I've, like I said, I drank the Kool-Aid, so it's been hard for me to walk away from WordPress for a long time. But it's definitely been a kind of long road, I guess. You know, I should say, you know, my skills have grown since then. My client base and the things I've been doing since then have definitely grown beyond just, you know, doing a few templates. I've definitely grown to do custom work, kind of building from the ground up, but also partnering with freelance developers mostly to do more custom work. I certainly use the plugins that are out there, and there is so much that you can do kind of out of the box. But just to give you an example, a few years ago, I did for a client a 5K race site. And this is something that does not exist and still does not exist on WordPress. There are kind of out of the box solutions on different, like they're kind of their own little custom solutions out there. But this was actually something that I did with the Give plugin plus a couple other plugins with a freelance, I can't even say it, plugin developer that essentially gave them the ability to have, you know, it's a 5K race site, but it also has individual runner profiles, and each of those has their individual earnings for, you know, how much they've been bringing in, and each of the charities that they're working towards, how much they've earned for those charities. And on the back end, it also had the custom reporting so that we knew how much we were bringing in for each of those charities, and we could report individually to all of them. So that was a big custom job that, you know, initially I didn't know if I could do all of that. But I was able to do all of that with WordPress. And like I said, the Give plugin, Gravity Forms, which I use endlessly and to a lot of great effect. Things like that, that you really wouldn't think you would be able to do. And I wouldn't necessarily recommend doing that if you want to just, you know, throw money at things. It's one of those things that you really kind of have to want to I guess build
I don't know how to build it yourself rather than
because you could just buy that out of the box solution. You know how much you're spending on that every month until it's done. But you know, this it kind of was a labor of love. It was one of those kind of nonprofit projects, not pro bono, but it was definitely a custom project and one of those that's kind of a one-off that doesn't necessarily come along every day. So
I think it's an amazing use of Give, and Allie worked with Give, so she could probably speak to that a little bit.
I was just going to say, I don't know if you noticed, my whole face just like lit up. I love hearing about uses of Give in the wild, because I did work for that company for a while and I adore that product and I adore that team.
Yeah.
And I would love to see the way, because it's a very pretty, in my opinion, easy plugin to, you know, you install it, you start using, you hook it up to your payment system, you start accepting donations. But I loved when I would see people get really creative with it, and people like yourself who are actually able to dig into it and adapt it to things that it doesn't ordinarily do. So if you wouldn't mind sharing, if that site is still live, sharing that link with us, I'd love if Angela could include it in the show notes so people can take a look at it.
Oh yeah,
because I definitely want to take a look at it. I think that's so incredibly cool.
And yeah, you don't have to share it this moment.
Yeah, but not this will, second, for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
We will put it in the show notes afterwards so people can see. Let me show it to you. We want to see screen flow. We want to explain it all. Because I think that use of Give, Matt has talked about that, about how you could use it for membership sites. You could really multitask it. And I do have one client using it for memberships. But we didn't customize it like you did. Yeah, and the way that you probably integrated Gravity Forms with that whole thing as well. And I think that's kind of the beauty of WordPress. You were speaking about community, but also this ecosystem that plays well together, that all of these things are coded in such a way to a certain standard, we hope. Not all plugins are friendly in this way. And some of them start friendly and get less friendly over time. I'm experiencing that with one plugin right now, but that ability to connect these things and that they all have hooks that can talk to each other is pretty pretty phenomenal, so that someone who doesn't have an extensive amount of custom PHP prowess who can work with you know, maybe someone who has a little bit more PHP skill and really make truly custom solutions happen.
And that's really where I consider myself. Like, I am not the deep PHP coder by any means. I consider myself kind of the solutions person where I can bring together those pieces and make them work. And I actually, it wasn't even my idea, but it was something off of one of Give's blog posts by someone there who had put together Give plus Gravity. And it was something like a race website that someone there had put together the idea of, and it just kind of coalesced into, wait, this is a great idea. And the website, I remember, because it was a few years ago, it was kind of the height of the pink pussy hat thing. It was pinkhatrun.com, and it is still live. You can't obviously do donations or anything anymore because it was just for that particular time. But yeah, it was a great, great thing that came together at that particular time, and it was a perfect solution for us. Yeah, and there's things like that you know, I feel like those solutions would not come together unless it was, you know, the WordPress community having those, you know, ideas out there and those plugins out there that can kind of come together with these little things. You know, for a pie shop I had done years ago, and they're no longer clients. I'm actually not sure if they're still around, but I had actually done, you know, they had a website and they were literally manually putting down catering orders. And they wanted to put them online, and they had like Thanksgiving orders, Christmas orders that they were just manually putting into their system, into these Google Sheets. And literally I just did it into Gravity Forms, actually put it from there and went into Google Sheets, which was their kind of backend system. They didn't really have any other backend systems for managing all of these things. So that became their kind of backend system for managing, you know, we need this many pies, we need this many sides of this or whatever it is. So they actually got all their orders in this way. and it actually, number one, took a ton of time off of their managers for actually, you know, handwriting all of these ridiculous, you know, numbers of orders down at one of their busiest times, but also, you know, took all of this time and off of people who were too busy to come into the store or to call the store, and they could actually just make the order online, pay, and they were done. You know, things like that, that I think a lot of folks don't even realize that they can get done. It's that simplicity that, and I think I also with Zapier, that was the other part of it that was, yeah. So it was a whole flow, and I wrote a blog post about it. But it was just, it was a simple thing, that you don't realize how much of a difference it makes to a business, but, that's what the kind of stuff that I love to do. So I guess it kind of comes down to being that consultant, which is kind of that nebulous term.
I love that. You mentioned multiple times now that the WordPress community is a lot of what set it apart for you from other CMS tools. I know that my chosen way to engage with the community is like WordCamps and Twitter. What is the way that you like engaging with the community? Have you been to WordCamps before the world ended? Is social media your way? Is Slack your way? What is the way that you interact primarily with the community?
I have to get better about Twitter. I'm more or less just throwing out things that I find that I like lately. It was probably maybe the year before that, I just hadn't been doing as much of it. But previously to that, I had been going around to a lot of WordCamps, primarily Chicago, but just because I'm from here, but also around the country. And also I went up to Montreal, but I've done San Diego. I've been to San Francisco, but I didn't speak at that one. I'm trying to think. I've been around like Raleigh. I've been all over the country speaking at different WordCamps, and not only those, but also like I've spoken at a couple travel blogger conferences as well, just because there's a lot of WordPress folks there. I don't know. I, you know, the community is the same all over the place, and it's just great to meet these folks everywhere. And you also just meet folks who are, you know, they don't find the exact resource that they need there. So sometimes that person is you, sometimes you can hook them up with that resource across the country. You know, it's kind of crazy. Like, you know, Milwaukee is not that far from me yet. I've done work for folks up there. I found resources up there, San Diego, et cetera. You know, it's kind of crazy how it's not that far away yet. You know, we can all kind of coalesce, and it's just, it's that, you know, common thread that we can all get together and talk, and generally over a few craft brews, and it's all good, and it's all exactly the same. So
yeah, that was one of my favorite parts when I, because I attended my local WordCamp here in Miami for a few years before going to my first like out of town one, and I was kind of nervous. I was like, I don't really know what to expect, and it was like, it's the same thing just in a different location. It's just kind of the same people, the same kind of conversations picked up and moved over here. And that was super, super comforting. You always learn something new. Obviously, you always meet new people, but it really is the exact same vibe, the exact same feeling. And yeah, that's really fantastic. Have you been to any WordCamps outside of the country? I haven't been able to go to any outside of the US before, and I've always wanted to.
Just Montreal, which, I mean, again, it was no real difference to me. You know, and it, there again, I met people from Chicago. So I was like, why am I here if I'm meeting?
Traveled all the way to Montreal to meet someone.
Exactly. I'm like, yeah. I mean, you know, at least I got some, you know, very different food and, you know, got to tour around. The other great thing too, you know, you get to meet some of the, you know, like people who, you know, created Buddy Press, or, and I got to put, questions to them that they could not answer themselves, you know, for stuff that I had like huge questions for. I'm like, okay, thank you. I do not have to put this into the forums. I can just say that the founder of Buddy Press did not have the answer to this, so I can just move on. So you kind of feel like you have that, you know, edge in there.
That is one thing I love about this community, is the longer you stay in it, the more people you meet. You start meeting, you know, the people that created the products that you use, and you realize it's a pretty darn small world, you know.
Yes.
And I used to be very intimidated by, you know, I would see, you know, someone give a talk, someone who owns this product, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this person, blah blah blah. And no, they're just a normal person like everyone else. They just created a great product, you know.
Yeah,
it's a very
show up at WordCamp or something, and it's like, oh, it's just Matt. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a very humbling experience. You know, it's humbling, but at the same time, it's very kind of confidence boosting. It's like, I'm the same as all of these people. You know, there's no, that's one thing I love about this community, is there is a certain lack of hierarchy to that sort of feeling. You know, everyone is here to teach, and everyone is here to learn. And it's this big, gorgeous equalizer.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's the thing I've always tried to impart, at least to my clients. Like, there is no such thing as a stupid question. And, you know, don't feel, you know, bad about having, or, you know, oh, I broke this, or something went wrong and it's just not fixable. Like, no, like, believe me, it's fixable. And we've probably all been in this situation before, or something similar. Mm-hmm. Like, just don't worry about it. So that's just my own feeling on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little intimidated to go to WordCamp Europe. I was thinking about going to the Paris one. And I was traveling near there around that time. And it was before we started the podcast. And so I was like, well, those Europeans, they're going to be so much more sophisticated. And I'm a little intimidated about, even though I traveled in Europe a lot. But now that we've interviewed so many women, that was a great thing about this podcast, is that we've been able to interview women around the world. And it's really, Allie, you were talking about it, making the world smaller. Our world has definitely gotten smaller as a result of even over the pandemic, so many more Zoom meetings. And I find that in our meetups, we have people from all over the world attending meetups that used to just be attended by people in person in our location. And that's been pretty phenomenal. Have you been participating in any remote sessions at all, WordCamp, any WordCamps or conferences or meetups or?
Not really, although, you know, I've been feeling like I should be getting back into it and looking around at what's out there. I have noticed more. I think it is down in like a Florida, maybe it's Fort Lauderdale or something. WordCamp has been doing something lately. I have been feeling like I should be at least participating or at least looking around at them. The one I've noticed has been on Elementors, which is kind of my, on my most despised list. So I don't really go there.
Yeah, the WordCamp Miami team does a mega meetup every once in a while. Yes. I actually haven't been attending those as often, but yeah, those are pretty big ones that have been happening.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea just because, yeah, there's so many great topics out there. I should definitely check them out.
What do you speak on when you speak at WordCamps?
I try to stick to, you know, and that's something I've been thinking about. What should I be speaking on going forward? I've been big on my last topics were more how to redesign or design your site and kind of the process you should be thinking about going through as you go through that. Just because most people don't really think about the process, or they've not thought that there is a process, that you just kind of think about design and not content or not anything else or not function or not anything. For me, the big things are like heat maps and click-throughs, using tools like Hotjar and Crazy Egg and that to see really what is happening on your site versus what you think might be happening. And going beyond just analytics, because I think that can be kind of not misleading, but you tend to look at, oh, over this past year, you know, everybody looked at my homepage and my contact page and my about page, which is what happens on every site. But, you know, and oh, this was my biggest blog post or something like that. But it doesn't really look at the granular things like what people are really looking at and what they're really clicking on, and are they getting lost on your homepage, or are they finding what you want them to find, you know? And I found that with a lot of clients, they'll think, oh, this part of my page is awful. No one clicks on it. And sometimes it's the most clicked on part of it. Just, they hate it. So they don't want it there. So that's their issue. You know, it's kind of like they put on the blinders of, well, the CEO likes it, or I like it, or I hate it. So therefore, so, you know, to me, those are the important things to be looking at. And even if you have like a low traffic site, I feel like those are the things to be really paying attention to, just to make it more useful, make it more interesting. I think it's so easy to throw up a site and feel like it's kind of like a print piece where it's just done. It's, you don't touch it again until you next do your redesign. And, you know, it's a living, breathing thing. You know, it should be fed and watered. And so that's one thing that I've talked about. And I feel like I should be really expanding on that and making the heat map thing a bigger part of that. And previously, you know, I've spoken about like branding or kind of more like 101 things, like how to really use the dashboard of your site. I'm trying to think of what else. Design thinking, those kinds of things. Which kind of leads your site design or whatever it may be.
Well, I personally would love to see a talk on like even just you walking through that process, you for that racing site where you combined Give and Gravity Forms and things like that. I think we have this big shift recently toward stories, right? In talk stories, processes. How did I accomplish X? How did I do Y? And so like seeing a real world example of how you had a problem and used this software that had all these common denominators to solve that problem, I would run to a talk like that. Yeah, that would be really, really, because that's so unique, right? That's unique to your exact experience, but it's also something that people can take a lot back from at the same time.
No, that's true. Yeah, I know. And I wish that they would like reinvigorate that. I think that they kind of abandoned the idea of doing that again. And I'm like, come on, do the race again. Because, you know, who cares about the pink hat thing? Do it again. Do it not that way or something. But yeah, I think it's such a great thing, you know, invigorate in some other way. But no, you're right. Definitely.
Yeah. And I I organize the Boulder WordPress meetup. And so I would be happy to have you as a guest at our meetup. I'm always looking for speakers. And so that would initiate you into the online community that's been happening, because we might be doing this for the better part of the year, I think. So let's get you in.
All right. Well, now I have to do work. Oh my goodness.
Look at that.
Yeah. Oh, you can do it anytime this year. But I love Allie's idea, because like you said, you got inspired by that blog post. Yeah. Think about how many people you would inspire, and you don't have to replicate exactly what you did, but you know, like, here's kind of how you would go about this process.
Also, and it's I think helpful. We do have, like, I've helped organize a handful of events at this point, and 101 beginner talks are super, super useful and handy. But I also love having a good, you know, okay, I have all the beginner stuff down. I have all the intermediate stuff down. I want to take this information to the next level. And I think that's a perfect subject of, like, here's a case study on how you can take all these things that you learned, your knowledge, your base knowledge about WordPress, and basically create something that's larger than the sum of its parts, right? I think that's super interesting and will attract a kind of different audience of people as well. Also, to kind of circle back to the conversation about events, I just popped a link in our chat here. wpcalendar.io/online is my like go-to, always updated, like always accurate list of WordPress events worldwide. So they have like online WordCamps and other things, and then they have meetups that you can find. So I check this all the time for what's coming up as well.
Yeah,
Lisa, I know, so I fall off the list of things. You know.
We're gonna get you drinking the Kool-Aid again in 2021 here.
That Zoom Kool-Aid.
And it never quite stop. That's the thing, you know.
We'll say it can be a little exhausting. Like the thing about going to a WordCamp or going to a meetup is it's like you get out of the house. It's a special thing. You get to chat with people, like you said, have a brew or two. And I've been attending kind of fewer meetups recently and things like that, just because the Zoom fatigue is real. I try to sprinkle them throughout my schedule, where it's okay, maybe I'll do like one a week or a handful a month or something like that. So we do want to get you into the virtual events, but don't feel like you have to like come to all of them, because then you end up hating it.
Oh, I know. Well, and it's not like I have to leave my house, so
exactly.
That's very true.
It is motivating to be a speaker at someone else's meetup for sure. And it can be exciting. Definitely. And you can meet a lot of really cool people that way. So
you can't zone out. You can't just say what
I attended one meetup and I really wanted to listen to the topic, but I was busy. And so I had my laptop in the kitchen. I had my camera off and I was cooking this whole amazing stew while I was listening to David Hayes talk about PHP.
That's kind of awesome.
It was so great. And then I'd sometimes unmute just because I had a comment. And then it was like, okay, back to cooking.
I love that. That is such a like 21st century merging of gender roles. Like, how punk of you. I'm like, yeah, I'm cooking dinner, but I'm also learning about PHP on the side. Like, no big deal.
Oh, no, it gets better. I was actually constructing a chicken coop, like sawing wood and hammering and stuff. Had my laptop outside, listening to a woman talking about WooCommerce.
That is so cool.
I was like on this deadline with the weather and had to get this coop done. So yeah, so I also was doing construction. So there's some more gender bending.
It's very millennial, like, I don't know.
I'm not a millennial, that's for sure.
I am. Maybe that's why I find it so cool.
There you go. That's inspiration. She was working on her chicken coop while listening to a podcast.
It wasn't a podcast. It was like a live presentation on someone's meetup.
That's so cool.
But I had to stop like the power tools every now and then, like, wait, what did she say? Stop hammering.
That's such a cool thing of like, if you could go back in time and tell yourself as a kid about that day, like, how
be so weird.
Who is this person?
Child, you be. Yeah, you didn't like
the this point.
That's the future.
Yeah, chicken coops and selling things online. Wow,
it's great. Wild. Lisa, what do you do for fun?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It's hard to think about these days.
Let me put it this way. When the pandemic is over, what is the first thing you're going to do?
Oh, gosh. I've been thinking about that a lot. It's kind of funny. I sent a link to my friend not too terribly long ago to sign up for a drag queen brunch. So I do have my first.
That is so fun.
I do have my first shot. So
me too.
So you're like halfway there.
Exactly. You know, so we all have our priorities. You know, it's some of it is kind of like random events like that. Some of it is just kind of getting out of the house and getting out. And I don't want to say something like I go out hiking because I'm in Illinois. So hiking is really like lots of flat land around me. But, you know, so much of it is just getting out to like restaurants and travel is one thing I miss. That was one thing I loved about going to, and I kind of say it in a sideways, like I was going to WordCamps. And so I can say it as, you know, I was speaking at WordCamps and, you know, networking with my peers, et cetera, but it was also just travel to other places, yes. Visiting friends, getting out. Montreal was just wonderful for that. And it was a great WordCamp anyway, but it was a great stop over there anyway. And to visit for a while. You know, those are the big things that I really miss. And I really want to get out there and do again. And, you know, I have not really done the international WordCamps. I think some of it is probably my fear of, am I really going to be able to understand what happens at the Italian WordCamp? But maybe I don't care. So,
and the food, it's a business write-off and food.
The food.
Conferences I found over time that I kept going back to because they had, and I don't want to throw any shade to WordCamps, but they weren't WordCamps. There were some conferences I went to because I kept going back to because they had such amazing food at them. one of them I will say, and it was a great conference too, Write Speak Code. And I believe it's a .org. It's actually to encourage women to write code, speak at conferences, and code.
That's amazing.
That is so cool. Yeah,
I'm on their site right now. So if you're not, you know, and they have scholarships and that kind of thing. And there's a lot of, you know, talk about, like one of the talks that I actually did at the last one, which was a couple of years ago, was about invisible illnesses. So those illnesses, like, you know, things that aren't visible to the naked eye, but you know, if you do actually work for an employer, maybe you need a disability but you actually, you know, you don't want to be identified by them, mm-hmm. you know, because you could be discriminated against for them or something like that. And then another one was, actually it's here in Chicago, although I think that they sometimes go elsewhere, but they've been virtual lately. I'm going to forget the heck. It's a code camp. UX camp. Mm-hmm. And it's for UX campers, but they also have other ones that are about product camp, more about like leadership and about building products, things like that. They're just excellent in general. So just throwing those out there for anyone who may.
We will include all of those links in the show notes.
Yeah, and I'll get you more specific links for that last one.
That would be, we would love that. In the Write Learn Code, I hadn't heard about that, but that.
Yeah, Write Speak Code, yeah.
Write Speak Code, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is amazing.
So, yeah, no, I went to it for several years just because, and then I was like, okay, I kind of have gotten everything I think I can get it. But, and again, great food, so. Yeah. Like one year we had Filipino food for lunch. So, I mean, you don't see that.
Yeah. The travel thing is yeah. Like Ali was saying, the Zoom, you can get burnt out on. It's hard to get burnt out on travel.
Yeah.
You know,
and when you can just walk out the door if you're tired of the conference.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the great thing about, you know, the in-person conferences too, right? Is the hallway chats. It's like, okay, well, there's nothing that I want to attend right now, or, you know, this talk isn't what I thought it was going to be. So I'm going to go outside and I'm going to, mm-hmm. like, those are sometimes the best conversations you have, is just an organic conversation that comes up with someone, you know, outside, or a connection that you make, mm-hmm. or, you know, some place that you like, an after party or something. Like, there's so many other facets that it's so hard to, it's hard to work those into the virtual experience in the same mm-hmm. way. So yeah, I completely agree with you. And I'm always thinking about that first WordCamp that I go to after all this is over, and how I'm just going to like cry the whole time. I'm just going to be so, I'm not going to be paying attention to anything. I'm just going to be hugging people. Like, it's going to be intensely emotional, but I'm really looking forward to it.
It will be overwhelming.
Yeah, it's going to be really overwhelming. I'm going to be so like drained afterwards, but it'll be definitely worth it. Yeah. And I hope I can meet you at one of them at some point.
Yeah, definitely. No, I've been wanting to go to Miami, so, you know.
Miami, good excuse. Good, that was actually the very last one that I went to. It was, I think it was the last WordCamp, the last in-person WordCamp that was hosted.
Wow.
Do you know that, Angela?
I don't, but it kind of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2019, it was in February. So I think it was one of those ones where we were like,
oh, February. Oh, it was February of 2020, yeah. You mean? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sorry.
February. I do remember that. It was kind mm-hmm. of, because I think the pandemic was just starting. It's like, is this still going to happen? And it's just mm-hmm. like they had
and
it.
Some people and didn't like, come because they were uncomfortable with traveling and they weren't sure. And then all the ones after that, like I remember DC, like all the ones after that started being canceled. And then it was like announced no more. Like, is that even a question? So that was the very last one that I attended. It was fantastic. I can't remember the last one that I traveled to. I want to say it was Phoenix. I can't exactly remember. But yeah, the first one back is going to be a doozy.
Yeah, the last one I went to was WordCamp US in mm-hmm. St. Louis. And I love St. Louis. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was a really good one.
And I was scheduled to go to WordCamp Europe, and I had plane tickets, and I had Airbnb, and I had the whole nine yards. And I look at my Facebook memories as they come up, and I just like, oh, that was going to be a great trip. As I think my
Facebook should just stop that whole, like, don't remind people of anything from 2020. Like, just turn it off for the whole year. Nobody wants to remember that. Like, that's just cruel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to go to Belgium. Porto and Barcelona and every place. Anyway, well, Lisa, it has been so wonderful to have you on the show, and I really look forward to eating some yummy food with you and drinking a beer. I'm an IPA person. What are you?
I'm more Belgians, but that's okay. We can still get together.
What about Allie? Are you a beer person?
I'm not a big beer person. I much prefer like wine. I'm a wine aunt.
We will have the drink of our choice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for the sake of it. So just so you can, we could clock our tumblers together. Exactly. Or whatever. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. Can you tell people how to reach you? What is the best place for people to find you online?
Oh gosh, I'm always online. You can always find me on Twitter at Gizmo, GIZMO Design. You can always reach me at gizmo-design.com. You can always reach me at lisa@gizmo-design.com. And you know, I'm always around, quite honestly. Those are always the best ways to reach me, and not by phone, because honestly, everything goes to spam. So.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. Yay.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. We would be honored if you subscribe to the show. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Finally, if you want to be on the show or know someone who would, visit our website at womeninwp.com. Until next time.